Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Muffin, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company. We're what? Your pet's health. Man, it's our business. And friends, gosh, we just don't let friends feed kibble if we can help it. Right Dr. Jasek?
Absolutely. Kibble, yeah. There is no good kibble. You know, I get people, I had a new client this week and they have a new puppy and I'm like, great, we'll get your puppy off to a great start. And so I'm telling them all about raw and they're all on board with it. And like, well, but this might be kind of expensive. Is there some kind of cheap filler I can add in?
What?
Like, no, like it's defeating the whole purpose. I just like, so no, there's no cheap filler. There's no good kibble. You know, there's no substitute for real nutrition. And, you know, it's like an insurance policy. You know, we tell people pay now or pay later, feed the fresh food now, or you're going to be paying to treat, you know, chronic disease or chronic inflammation of some sort on down the road.
You know what? I think there's this some type of mindset against dogs. I'm going to start a protest.
I'm with you. I want to protest. I want to get out there these people and blow off some steam.
Well, okay. Let me tell you what my protest is about. Because okay. If you have a horse. Okay, mm-hmm. If you have a racehorse, if you have a quarter horse, a lot of horses, they spend a lot of money on horses to keep them healthy. Mm-hmm. All right? What is the deal against dogs? Why do you want to feed your dog cheap food? Tell me.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. I think it's habit and I think it's marketing. You know, people, you know, they hear all this stuff, you know, they see all the ads on TV and, you know, these big pet food companies are brilliant marketers and they, you know, it's habit, it's convenience, and they see all this cool marketing. And it, of course, doesn't help that the majority of the veterinary profession supports feeding dry food, you know. We're up against that, too.
Yeah. As you said, banging our heads against the wall daily.
Right. Yeah, totally. My head hurts so bad sometimes.
Well, we are going to talk about a new food that's on the market that's going to, you've got a lot to say about it. But before we do, we want to say hello to these people who listen to the podcast. Maria Cherem, she's in Vista, California. She is a raw dog food activist. She said she is a total convert. And she is one of your new patients. She contacted you from California. Her dog had a few elevated liver enzymes, so she contacted you, and you got her all straightened out. So thank you, Maria, for being a raw dog food squad member. We love you. Okay. And Anne Budway, this is so funny, Dr. Jasek. So she says, I absolutely love your show. I don't have a dishwasher. So the only way to get through my pile of dishes every day is to listen to your podcast.
Oh, that's great. That's a great service. I didn't realize we were offering.
Yeah. So. See, we're doing more than just helping dogs. We're helping humans too. Yeah.
You know what? I do the same thing. I mean, I don't listen to our podcast because I know what they say.
You do,
really like,
yes.
I don't really like listening to myself talk anyway. But I listen to other podcasts. I do that same thing. If I'm working in the kitchen and cooking dinner or doing dishes or whatever, I always got something on I'm listening to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great way to get information. But here is something that Anne said. She said, I'm emailing you today because I was asked by a friend for a recommendation on a vegan or vegetarian diet for dogs. And this is, you're going to be able to speak to this pretty well. She said, her dog has IBD and cannot digest animal protein. She said that her dog is allergic to all animal proteins, turkey, beef, pork, chicken, fish. And she said she knows this because she did an allergy test. And this is what they put, they would be the vets, put her dog on a diet of boiled chicken, rice, potatoes, and pumpkin and a vitamin. So right there, come on. But here's what happened. The dog was puking and pooping out blood. And this, she said this diet didn't work. So they switched back to kibble, which is something that we're always trying to prevent. But clearly, come on, a dog is not allergic to every protein out there. All right. Right. Maybe your dog has leaky gut. Mm-hmm. Okay. But that is just not the case. And this is not a good diet. Come on, pumpkin, rice, potatoes. Oh, somebody just give me a big fat donut.
Right. Totally. Totally. It's all sugar. It all turns to sugar. And the fact of the matter is, like you said, Didi, this dog has a leaky gut. I can guarantee it, because true food allergies are actually not that common. And when we pick up a reaction or a positive on an allergy test to all these different proteins, the dog's probably testing positive to everything it's eaten in the last couple of years because the gut's leaky and the body's reacting to it. So it's a gut issue, and we need to work on healing the gut. So it's not about stopping feeding those particular proteins, and certainly not about feeding them a bunch of carbs. We got to work on healing the gut, and then the problem will resolve.
All right. What do we feed a dog with IBD? We don't feed him crappy kibble. We don't feed him plant proteins. Dr. Jasek, we've done a show on this before. But what would you recommend for a dog who has IBD?
Well, I would try them on the raw and see how they do. And sometimes, you know, what I find is it might require a little additional support. You know, your average young, healthy dog, you can put them on raw and like never look back. I mean, they do great. But dogs that already have an inflamed gut, the gut's going to be inflamed no matter what you feed them. But we want to be giving them good nutrition, and we want to be working on healing the gut. So we may add in things like some extra enzymes, you know, try some probiotics. You know, probiotics have mixed results. Sometimes they show a great benefit in some individuals, sometimes not so much, but usually they don't do any harm. Occasionally I've seen a few dogs feel worse on probiotics, but it's worth a try if we know we have a damaged gut. So we give a little extra support. And we have to go slow, and we have to give it some time. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't have the patience to work through this. Because if you have a dog that has leaky gut or IBD or IBS, which are just, those are diagnoses that don't even mean anything. We know the gut's inflamed. It just tells us the gut's inflamed. We already know that. It doesn't really tell us anything. But they've had this inflamed gut for a while. It doesn't heal overnight, and they have to eat something. So we want them on a healthy diet. But they're probably going to need additional support. But every individual is going to need different support. So it takes some time to figure that out. So we start with a raw diet, and things like make sure it's, you know, you're warming it. Maybe add in some bone broth with the food, you know, warm it with some warm bone broth. Bone broth is very nourishing. There's herbs we can use to help heal the gut. So we definitely going to have to give them extra support. May they still see some symptoms? Yeah. I mean, we want to make sure that the symptoms aren't getting worse and that, you know, we don't want the pet suffering, but this isn't something that's going to just clear up overnight. And it's not about just stopping to feed a particular protein. That doesn't solve anything in my experience, whether it's gut issues or skin issues or, well, I stopped feeding beef or I stopped feeding chicken or, you know, I hear that all the time, and they're in seeing me because it didn't work. And that's usually what I find out, because it's not about the particular protein. It's that we need to calm down the inflammation, and we need to get the gut healed. And it takes time, sometimes months. And it's going to be ups and downs. And it's not that the raw food is making the dog sick or introducing extra bacteria or all these things that I hear over and over and over again. It's that the dog's gut is not yet healed, and we need to help the dog work through that. But just because their symptoms may not immediately go away, it doesn't mean that the raw food is making the dog sick, which is what, you know, other veterinarians unfortunately tend to tell people.
Yeah. What is that? You hear that noise? What is that noise? That is Dr. Jasek's head banging against the wall.
Oh. I'm like, what noise? Yes, sir. I was wondering, I woke up today with a headache and I was probably in my sleep during the night banging my head against the wall.
Well, listen, so what is leaky gut? So let me just kind of explain it to you a little bit. Let me explain it to you. So when your dog's gut, okay, it has these junctions in the gut lining, okay, and those are supposed to keep the toxins inside the gut and out of the bloodstream. But when the dog's gut becomes inflamed, okay, these junctions stretch and they allow toxins and undigested nutrients into the bloodstream. This is what causes allergies, chronic inflammation, and even autoimmune disease. So this is why we have to get that gut healed, all right? We got to get the leaky gut healed. And I can promise you this, that grains and a vegan diet is not going to help your dog heal. Primarily why? Because it doesn't have the essential amino acids that the dogs need or the bits and pieces that the dogs need. I mean, look, the really good stuff is in the raw diet. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about things that freak people out. That's called brains, eyeballs, testicles, feet.
Bone pieces. Don't forget about the pieces of bone.
Yeah, the bone people pieces. Out. Yeah. You know, the feet and the beaks. I mean, we've got the duck heads. They got their feet. I mean, we got the duck feet. We got the duck heads. We got your bison testicles. We got eyeballs in the rabbit. We got the brain. We got these pieces. We got the penises. They're called bully sticks. Okay. But these are the things that you need in the raw diet. And I don't even know how you're going to heal that, Dr. Jasek, if you're not patient. I don't know if in the mind you think, okay, if I get these pharmaceuticals and I put them on this RX diet, then I feel like I've done my job. You guys, that's a catch-22. The gut is not going to heal.
You know, and what I see, you know, in the more conventional side in medicine, and I think this is a mindset sometimes amongst our pet parents too, is, okay, the dog's sick. I got to start taking things out of the diet. Let's take things out. Let's remove this protein. Okay, let's just cut the protein down to a lower level and cut out all the fat. And then, oh, well, let's just eliminate all the meat completely and try a vegan diet. And we keep taking things out until there's literally no nutritional value whatsoever in the food. We have to provide adequate nutrition. And that's through, like you were just saying, Dee Dee, through all these different body parts. And not all dogs can eat everything. You know, if the dog has an inflamed gut, they may have some sensitivities. You know, maybe we do need to go with a boneless blend for a little bit, or make some changes in how we feed them the raw. It's not just a young, healthy dog that you can just add in all these body parts and they're going to do just fine. They may have some sensitivities. They may have problems digesting. Another thing that I think happens quite commonly, when especially if dogs have been fed kibble or they've been on a lot of medications, a lot of dogs that have chronic GI issues have been on drugs like Pepcid or omeprazole, Tagamet, which reduces the acid content in the stomach. They're not going to be digesting the raw food as well. We have to get their whole digestive process healthy in order for them to digest the food, the raw food, well, and utilize it optimally. But it doesn't mean that they can't do that. It just takes some time.
Yeah. And here's another thing that we see that's just heartbreaking. So a dog is doing great on raw, right? They're doing fabulous. Mm-hmm. And a pet parent may think, well, I'm spending a lot of money on raw. Dog's doing fine. He's doing great. I can go back to kibble. And we have seen this. And you guys, it really does tear up their gut. And then what happens? Their skin looks horrible. Horrible. You know, they start getting the candida yeast. They start getting inflamed. Then you take the pet to the vet and they put them on Apoquil or Cytopoint or some sort of prednisone or steroid. And now we are in a bad position. Now you come back to the raw and you want it to change it in a snap. Sometimes you've done some damage there and it's going to take a little bit of time. So we've got to understand, you know, just because they're doing great on the raw and maybe you're looking at it saying, yeah, you know, it's $100 too much a month. All right. Well, one Cytopoint shot, going back to kibble, one Cytopoint shot is over $100. Okay. And you're going to be in this vicious cycle. So I'm not sure. I want to try to get it in your mind that you've got to feed a food that is species appropriate. Species appropriate. That means these dogs, all dogs, are meant to eat a raw diet, a meat-based diet with the organs, with the bones, with the beaks, with the feet, with the eyeballs. They have short digestive tracts. So, you know, plant-based food, Dr. Jasek, doesn't have time to ferment. I mean, basically, you give them a carrot, it comes out a carrot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just they don't do well. I'm not saying that there aren't some antioxidants that are good in the green leafies, the broccoli, the kale, that sort of stuff. You know, there are some good things. But by and large, these dogs were made to eat this food. And why there's this fear around a diet that is so good for your dog, we got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of that fear.
Yeah, and a lot of people anthropomorphize too. Like for people, you know, we do best on fresh food diets too, but we're more omnivorous. We should eat a lot more vegetables. You know, our systems are designed to eat a big variety of plants, and we can break those down. We have the teeth to chew them and grind them, and we begin our digestion in our mouth, whereas dogs and cats have these shearing teeth. It's just meant to, you know, tear meat off of a carcass, and the digestion starts in the stomach. And yeah, I think you can feed them a bunch of produce. I think it makes people feel better because they're adding these plants in that supposedly have these nutrients. But if the dog can't break down those plant cell walls and extract those nutrients, it's not doing them any good. And it's like you said, you know, people, hey, you want to give your dog a carrot as a snack. They like these crunchy little things. Sure, but it's a snack because they poop out the carrot pieces. Like you just said, they're not getting nutrition from it, and they don't need it. They can get all the nutrition they need in an animal product diet as long as they do the full rotation. I mean, I get that question all the time. How do I know the diet is balanced? And it's like, well, we're not micromanaging nutrients. We're not measuring every nutrient down to the IU so that you can put an AFCO label on it, because then you just end up with a bunch of synthetics that probably aren't doing the dogs any good anyway. You do the rotation, and with all these different body parts and all the different proteins and adding the extra organs, they're going to get the nutrition. And then you look at the pet. Is your pet thriving? Do they look great? Do they have tons of energy? Well, then you're doing it right. I mean, that's the proof right there. And I see, you know, I start cancer patients on that. Is one new client I was talking to yesterday, just like, will you really, you start your cancer patients on this? I'm like, yeah. And some of them are on chemo that supposedly have compromised immune systems. I put them all on raw. You know, that's what they will thrive the best on. There's really no reason not to put a dog on a raw diet, in my opinion, as long as they'll eat it. And I see a few that are really coming in really sick. Like these are some of the cancer patients that are just nauseous and just don't feel good. They really, it's hard to get them to eat much of anything. And they may not, you know, pick up on the raw really well, but for the most part, they thrive on it.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of pet parents have dogs that have separation anxiety. Their dogs have habits like eating feces, sticks. They even self-mutilate, you know, biting and scratching themselves so much. But do you know that serotonin is a real thing in dogs? They really do. That is one of the feel-good hormones, right? Serotonin. Mm-hmm. And you get serotonin. So what I was describing, the separation anxiety, all those different habits can be an indication of low levels of serotonin. Well, how do you get serotonin into a dog? You have to feed them tryptophan-rich foods, okay? What are those? Well, turkey, fish, chicken, eggs. Those are all in the raw diet. So you can't get that in a vegan diet. And I can just see Dr. Chasey, these vegan dogs, depressed, anxiety ridden, you know, their muscle mass is nothing. I mean, I don't know what we're going to see, but I don't think we're going to see very, very healthy dogs.
Right. And a lot of the serotonin also is produced in the gut. So that comes back to, we have to have a healthy gut. And if you're feeding a lot of inflammatory foods, your grains, lentils, all your starches, the gut's going to be inflamed and it's not going to be able to manufacture that serotonin. And we do indeed see a lot of behavioral changes. When we pull dogs off kibble, dogs that are, you know, can't focus, are hard to train, you know, misbehaving, all those carbs also inflame the brain. And they can't, you know, you hear people say that, you know, if they don't eat well, they have brain fog, they eat gluten, they get brain fog. Same thing can happen in dogs. And you pull them off of those inflammatory ingredients and they actually behave better. They calm down because they're not agitated. When the body's inflamed, and especially when the brain's inflamed, it can cause this agitation. And when the gut isn't healthy, you know, there's this strong link between the gut and the brain. There's also a blood-brain barrier. And if that gets inflamed, you have essentially leaky brain, where you get these substances in the blood that shouldn't be getting into the fluids that surround the brain and the central nervous system, and they get in. Because again, it's the same thing like in the gut. These junctions are widened and this junction becomes leaky and you get these toxins in around the brain. And so We want to be keeping the toxins. I mean, first of all, don't be feeding them the toxins in the first place. And that's the other thing about kibble anymore. These grains and lentils and legumes and all this stuff that they put in there, is they're all heavily sprayed with glyphosate now. After harvest, it's used as a desiccant. It's put on them to dry them quickly so they don't have to wait for them to dry. So this is a known carcinogen being sprayed directly on these products, and then they're going directly into your pet's food. So you're feeding a known carcinogen to your pets.
Nice.
Don't do it. If you don't need, I mean, isn't that enough reason? If you don't want to believe the nutritional part, you know, if you know that you're feeding your pet a known carcinogen, you don't want your pets to get cancer, pay the extra $100 a month and feed them a fresh food diet.
Absolutely. The health of your dog's intestinal flora that you were just talking about impacts the production of neurotransmitters in the brain. So if you want an antioxidant to keep the brain healthy, feed phytoplankton. It's a great antioxidant. We have it on our website. Go to the supplement section. It's called PhytoSynergy. I love it. We do it with both of our dogs. It's just this little green powder. I've talked about it often. It's fabulous. And for those people, Dr. Jasek, who always worry about, is it balanced? Do I have enough vitamin and minerals? Add the phytoplankton and you're good. All right. Now, Dr. Jasek, we got this email this week from a customer, and this was funny. He's a long-term raw feeder, okay? But this is how people get duped into thinking that things are great. So I got this email, and it said, interesting article in this magazine about using whole food supplements to treat lymphoma in dogs. Can you forward this to Dr. Judy in case she hasn't seen it? The company is Canine Biologics, a new Denver-based company. And you look at this article, it came out in Mile High Dog, all right? And it says, finally, nutrition to support dogs fighting cancer. Okay. And we go over there and we take a look at it. And basically, it's got, I mean, when I first looked at it, I was like, what? I don't get it. So they use these supplements. They use salmon oil right there without even looking at anything else. I'm like, salmon oil for cancer patients? It's an oil that is unstable. Are you kidding me? But then I sent it over to you and we started looking at this a little further. I bet this just ruffled your feathers, Dr. Jasek. This is a company that's saying this food is great for cancer dogs. And did this just not make you furious? Because
I was incensed. You know, I like pretty much never do I go out like on Facebook and comment. I went out to the Mile High Dog Facebook page and this company, Canine Biologics, and found they, of course, had ads out there for this new food. And I told them in no uncertain terms what I thought of it, that it's going to make more pets sick than it's going to help because it's all carb. And if you read the ingredients, what's the difference between this food and most of the other foods out there? Your average, like, well, it's not even grain-free. It has grain in it. So your average, like maybe quote unquote high end kibble, like you're from or origin or something like that. The ingredients are the same. There's absolutely nothing different about this food except that they're calling it a cancer diet. It's all marketing. It's a marketing scam is what it is.
So they have brown rice. They have carrots. They have sweet potatoes, they have green beans. And this is not something that you and I would ever recommend for a cancer patient. This right here always gets me, Dr. Jasek. This statement right here. Our cooking methods are simple. We cook to minimum safe temperatures to preserve nutrients and unlock flavor. Then we freeze dry to maintain freshness and nutrient density. They also make the statement that they can eat it themselves. All right, people, let's think about this for a second. First of all, if it was a species-appropriate diet, you and I could not eat it because we don't eat raw food, not raw meat. You know, some people eat steak tartare. Right? Mm-hmm. Or sushi. But we're not going to eat raw food. So they mix up a bunch of half-truths right here in their, you know, simple, all natural and always human grade. Okay. First of all, I don't know how they're getting away with saying human grade because the FDA doesn't want raw pet food companies saying human grade. Did you know that? Right. They don't like that. So why are they getting to say that? I wonder. Well, because it's not raw. This is, how do you cook to safe temperatures? I would like to ask.
Right. Like, what does that mean? Yeah, it's very vague. It cooks to safe temperatures. It doesn't even say what that means. It just sounds good. Oh, it's safe. It's just total marketing. They spend all their money on marketing on this food because they use that word like safe. So people say, oh, it's safe. That sounds human grade. What does that mean? And like you said, how is that appropriate for a carnivore? What does that even mean? What does human grade even mean? Like they're, you know, it just sounds good. They're picking on keywords that they have done the marketing research and found the keywords that people like to hear. And they're marketing based on that because this is not a food that's going to be good for cancer patients. I can guarantee it.
Right. So here's the thing. All dogs need amino acids, sulfur-containing amino acids, all right? Protein is made up of a chain of amino acids. Now, once you cook them, dehydrate them, you are going to change the way that you're going to denature them. You're going to change the way that amino acids and protein work in the body. So I'm really curious, is how in the world do you make a food like that that is going to be nutrient dense for a dog that is in a health challenge position, like cancer? This just absolutely blows me away, because amino acids are so important, right? And when you destroy them, you can't fix the issues in the dog. So amino acids, hormone control, enzyme activity, immune function, tissue repair, metabolism, brain chemicals, and mood. How do we get those into the dog if not from the food? Are they adding other things to that food? Are they doing it from these supplements? Did you take a look at the supplements, Dr. Jasek? What's actually in the supplements that they're giving the dog? You can't supplement your way out of a bad diet.
Right. Exactly. And anytime you're adding supplements, again, so you have supplements that are likely synthetic to begin with. And I think they even had some proprietary thing that they didn't even tell you everything that's in the food. But the supplements are likely synthetic to begin with, and then they're processed. So you have no idea how that's going to, you know, help the dog, if the dog's going to be able to absorb and assimilate it. And they have no, like, so how or what they're putting in. So they're saying, you know, all these supplements help the dogs with cancer even further. They don't even, you know, speak to that. Like, how are these helping dogs with cancer? I mean, they have like one case that they say, oh, they fed this dog and it did great. I'm like, okay, well, I'd like to see the full medical records on that dog. And what was the dog eating before? Because if it was eating, you know, Old Roy or Beneful or something, it might have been an improvement actually in the diet. But they say this dog, you know, did great. And then there's no, you know, like I said, I would like to see the whole story and the whole medical history on that dog before believing that it was truly due to this diet. You know, they're implying that this dog got better because of the diet. You know, they sell diet stuff like this to people all the time. You know, they show you this picture or this really, you know, sculpted model or guy with the six pack abs or whatever. And, you know, they eat such and such a food. Well, yeah, but they're probably also working out at the gym 6 hours a day too. You know, the food is not the whole story. It's not just about the diet. And that's the way they're trying to sell this, that this dog got better because of this food. And I say, I want to see the whole story.
Well, and they also say they customize a nutrition plan for your dog. Okay, these are prepackaged.
Right. The only thing they can customize is how much they're feeding, or I think they maybe did have some supplements that they added in that were separate from the food. So that might be part of what they were talking about there.
When I look at their supplements, it says it includes 25 all natural plant extracts. Okay. You can just throw that right out. We don't need the plant extracts, proteins, amino acids, vitamin and minerals. Well, if you don't have amino acids in the food, yep, you're going to have to add them back in. And guess what those are? Synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when we look at the salmon oil, oh, people, I don't know. I get this all the time, Dr. J. Well, I'm adding an oil for the mm-hmm. omega-3s. And we say, no. Don't do oils, guys. Don't do oils. I know it's easy. It's easy. But you know what else is easy for omega-3s? Pork brains, real fish, phytoplankton. Even bananas have some omega-3s in it. All right. So we don't need to do a substandard oil, an oil that goes rancid, an oil that will cause inflammation when it goes rancid. All right. We're trying to bring that down. So why are we doing that? Let's don't do it. I don't know how long these bottles, Dr. Jasek, sit in a plant or sit in a warehouse before they actually even get to the shelves, and then they're sold to pet parents. And how long do they get to sit on the shelves?
Yeah, or sitting in the hot delivery truck, you know, this time of year. And they're in plastic bottles, a lot of them. So then you got the, you know, potential toxins from the plastic, like, and they're expensive, you know, a good quality, fish oil, some of these top brands, they're expensive. So why not just buy the fish? I mean, you know, you can get whole fish. I know you guys, your deal on buying a box of whole fish, it's so reasonable for, you know, for dogs. And yes, they can eat the whole fish. They can eat the bones. They can eat the heads and the eyes. That's people ask, they can eat those fish bones. I'm like, heck yeah, that's good for them. It's the whole food nutrition approach. I mean, once you start processing something, you take the oil out of the fish, you're going to lose nutritional value because nutrients are meant to be taken into the body in the form that Mother Nature puts them out there. Because there's multiple nutrients that work together. So when your pet eats a whole fish, yeah, they're getting the oil, but they're getting a lot of other nutrients that also work synergistically. And so that fish oil in that whole fish is going to have way more benefit in your pet than the fish oil. And we don't have the toxicity risk.
So I bet you loved this statement, Dr. Jasek, where it says on their page, it says, our Ph.D.-degreed veterinarians, your Ph.D.-degreed veterinarian, right? I mean, what does that mean? Ph.D.-degreed veterinarian. That doesn't really mean that you're a nutritionist, right?
Yeah, what does that mean? It puts some other, it puts some letters that people probably want to see. Because veterinarians, we're a doctor of veterinary medicine, we're a DVM. So do they have an additional Ph.D. in something or other? Like, I don't know. What does that mean? Their whole marketing thing is, okay, what does that mean?
Right. So it says our Ph.D.-degreed veterinarians, oncologists, nutritionists, and biochemists brought together the findings and evidence from dozens, wow, of peer-reviewed research studies and clinical trials to formulate and integrate and cross-balance, I love that play on word, cross-balance the nutrition required to support the digestive, immune, and other psychologic systems of dogs fighting cancer. Well, okay, we do know that oncologists and nutritionists in the veterinary world still don't have a clue about nutrition. We've had so many pet parents come over and say, well, you know, my cardiologist said needed grains in the diet. Well, why? Why do they need grains? Well, I'm not sure, but they just do.
Right, because somebody told them that that's what they should recommend now, and yeah, there is no reason, and there is no no research, no real research even supporting that. There's association, so there's a big difference, whole world of difference between association and true cause and effect. So, you know, they started to blame cardiomyopathy and the grain-free diets because some of the dogs coming in with cardiomyopathy were eating grain-free diets. Well, how do you know that that's what's causing it? You know, nobody's doing those studies. They're just making this assumption. I hear it all the time. My sister-in-law, who has been feeding raw, her dog is having some stomach issues, has a lesion, like a bleeding ulcer in her stomach. It's kind of odd. But anyway, she went into Wheat Ridge. She was going to get the dog scoped so they can actually look and see what's going on. And they got into the discussion about diet. They asked what she was feeding, and you can imagine how that went. And she's totally on board with feeding raw. And, you know, she kind of got in their face a little bit about, well, how can you prove? You know, they said, well, the only good diets to feed are, you know, Purina and Hill's and Royal Canin. And she's like, well, can you, you know, do you have that research? Can you prove that to me? And oh, the vet got so incensed. She was so insulted that my sister-in-law was just not taking her word as gold. So, but I'm like, well, good for you for challenging them on that, you know, because she really doesn't believe that those diets are any good. But, you know, there is no evidence to support the fact that these diets are any good, and including this canine biologics. And, you know, as we're talking, I'm thinking I should write to them and say, I'd love to see your research. Will you send it to me and see if they do? Because if if they have sound evidence that this actually helps cancer patients, they should be all over sending it to me. And if they don't, then it's all, you know, it's all made up.
Well, I was going to ask you, did they respond to you on Facebook? Did they take your post down?
You know, I haven't even been out there and looked, actually.
I would go look, because a lot of times they'll just hide it.
Yeah, they'll just take it down.
Where people can't see it. But one thing that we did find out, or you found out, was that Mile High Dog is an affiliate of this particular canine biologics. That means that they get paid to promote it, and whether they get a portion of the sales, that is also a fact. I mean, that could be a fact, I should say. So, you know, again, Dr. Jasek, many companies are just in the for-profit business. And they don't really look at it. They're like, oh, I can make a profit. I've got this many listeners. I've got this many email folks that I can send it out to. And that equates into dollars. And that's the same thing with a lot of the influencers today. Influencers that are in the market. So Instagram influencers, podcasters, all of those folks. There is a financial benefit. They may... I've seen so many people, they don't care what they're promoting. What they care about is how many dollars they get for promoting an item. And these influencers make a lot of money, right? Some influencers make millions. So everybody wants to be an influencer today. And I have people contacting me constantly, all the time. I'd like to be an influencer of yours. I'd like to be an influencer of yours. I said, do you feed raw? No. Do you know anything about raw? Mm-mm. What is that? What does that mean? And I'm like, you know, I guess I could say, okay, go out there and promote this. And it doesn't really matter if you know anything about it or not, but it sort of rubs me the wrong way. It really
does. Because when I think, you know, you can tell, maybe like I can tell when it's just all marketing, like this food, like when you know, like you and I know nutrition and we know how these pet food companies operate. And I would bet anything that there's one of the big pet food companies or one of the big corporations. You know, these pet food companies are owned by these corporate conglomerates like Mars or Colgate Palmolive and all that. But I bet anything that one of these big corporations is behind this product, and they have... They know cancer is on the rise in dogs. They know how much fear there is around that. And they hired a great, like you're saying, great influencer, a great marketing firm, because they have the dollars to do that, to sell this food. And it doesn't have to be a good food. If they do the right marketing, it'll sell, unfortunately.
Well, again, we've talked about this. It plays into what people want to feed. Now, what is it that every veterinarian will prescribe or recommend to a dog who has digestive upset? Brown rice and chicken. And that is exactly what that one of the foods is. It's a brown rice and chicken. So people say, oh, wow, that must be good because that's what my vet has recommended. Right? That is just a bland diet. Put them on bone broth. That'd be better. I mean, I'm not opposed to the boiled chicken. I'm not opposed to that, but I am opposed to the rice. I mean, I don't get that rice thing. But you know, if you want to do some boiled chicken, fine, do it. But we will always keep you advised of things that come about. We'll be glad to research it. We'll be glad to take a look at it. Just email us here. Email me, dd@rawdogfoodandcompany.com. If you'd like to reach out to Dr. Jasek or work with Dr. Jasek, you can certainly do that. It's ahavet.com, ahavet.com. That's Animal Healing Arts. That's here in Denver. She'll get you lined up because she is busy. Let me tell you something. Vets like Dr. Jasek are rare. Vets like Dr. Jasek are rare. Takes a lot of time to do what you do, Dr. Jasek. It's not just you have your box. You don't just say, this is okay, you got this, you got this, you got this, you got this. I mean, you really have to go over the pet's entire history. And you guys, it takes time. And here's what we really need for you to do. When you fill out those intake forms with Dr. JC, please put all of the history in there. Right, Dr. JC? So you can make a really informed decision. How many times do you go to the vet and they really ask you everything, right? What are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, they're just, and the thing when they ask you about the raw diet, Dr. Jessica, I'm always amazed because they never say, well, what's in the raw diet? You know, what percentage of protein, what percentage of organs, what percentage of fat? Do you have any grains? Because they don't know about it.
Mm-mm. They don't even know what to ask, I don't think. They just believe that raw is bad and they sell food. Again, they make money selling these prescription diets, which are so inferior nutritionally, but they make a lot of money. And the only thing that's prescription about the prescription diets is that you have to buy them from your vet and they charge more for them. There's no prescription anything about the food. There's no difference. Read the ingredients. Read the ingredients and go compare it to your average grocery store dog food, and you're not going to see much difference.
Well, or Google this article. It's from Dogs Naturally, and it's called Busted. Dogs Naturally calls bullshit on prescription diet dog food. And they will absolutely go through the whole thing. So before you say, okay, sure, I'm going to do this prescription diet, you need to read that article because it will really help you understand why we are not advocates of it. All right, Dr. Jasek, thank you so much for joining the Raw Dog Food Truth today. Remember, your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Jasek? Friends, don't let friends feed kibble, right?
Absolutely.
See you next week, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, snap!
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap!